Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for sharing us with your friends and family. We keep expanding. We keep growing here in the United States as well as overseas. Today, we have something special. We've seen a lot of things happen economically. We've seen interest rates go up significantly. How is that affecting real estate? What's going on with that? Are we seeing foreclosures go up? Are we seeing what's going on in the rental market? We have an expert here, Glenn Henderson. You've seen him before on the show. We're lucky to have him back. And he's going to talk to us about, in this marketplace, how do you sell your home for the most amount of money? These are patented steps. They're Glenn's, and people have really benefited from them. So, Glenn, I want to welcome you to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. Always appreciate it.
I'm glad you're here. I know our listeners and viewers are glad you're here. One of the other things that we're going to go over today is this. There's been a number of scams. I'm going to go through the top seven. You're going to want to wait for that until the end of the show. And with that, let's get started with Glenn. Now, Glenn, you've been in real estate for how many years now?
A little over 20 years now.
Okay, so we got a little bit of experience there. Okay.
Yeah. Now, seen the good and the bad.
So the nice thing about having somebody with a lot of experience is they know how to operate in good markets and bad markets. Let's just start talking about what we've been seeing here in the first half year. Real estate sales moving forward? Are they selling at whole price? All that kind of good stuff. All those things that everybody's thinking about buying and selling want to know.
It's been an interesting when we had the big jump in rates into the 7% range, and it basically stopped the market. In a lot of markets, I mean, we had almost no sales taking place. Sellers were having to do price reductions, and it had really just had transformed from a hot market to cold. Well, come December, rates started to come back down. Buyers' confidence started to come back into the marketplace and just into the economy overall. And starting about January, we started to see an uptick in activity. Well, activity has continued to increase, but the problem is the supply of homes coming on the market has not increased. So we're back to now a market where we have very little supply, a lot of demand. We're getting multiple offers on a lot of properties. We're seeing overbidding on a lot of properties, but it's only in certain price segments. And it's not necessarily one price point, but it's if you look at a zip code and what the median price point is within that zip code, it's about the 70 percentile and down. So median up to maybe 70% of what the top end of that range is. Those are selling, but the high-end homes in any market or any zip code or any area, those are the ones that are having more difficulty and more trouble selling. And a lot of it's related to the interest rates. And we just had another uptick in interest rates last week where it pushed us back into the high sixes and low sevens. And we're already starting to see and feel the impact of that on just the market as a whole.
Okay. So here's the next part. With all the stuff that's going on with increases in interest rates, mm-hmm. And, you know, as you indicated, you know, the values are selling a little bit higher. How's I know that people were looking for forbearance and all that kind of stuff, and that's translated into whatever its translation is now, but are we seeing an uptick in foreclosure filing, short sales, things like that?
A big uptick in the foreclosure filings, not so much the short sales, just because values are up so much, where majority of people still have the equity to be able to get the home sold if they choose to. The short sales that we are seeing are people from the last about year and a half, 2 years that bought properties with either VA loans, which was no money down, or the 3 or 5% down loan programs. So we are seeing some short sales in those, you know, situational defaults, whether it's loss of job or relocation or different things. But the foreclosure filings are up significantly. A lot of that is because the lenders that were doing the forbearances, the lenders There was the state and federal programs that were preventing lenders from foreclosing, different things and reasons that foreclosures were on hold. Those are all gone now. So, and the lenders are now getting concerned about where the market, the direction of where the market is heading. So we're starting to see a lot more foreclosures. And the other is the second mortgages. There was a lot of second mortgages that people had defaulted on and they were not making their payments. Well, now prices are high enough that those second lenders can come back and foreclose on the property, get the first paid off and still recoup a lot or all of their money. So that's another area where we're seeing the big uptick in the foreclosure filings.
Okay, help me out understand from a volume standpoint. Do you have any idea where the volume of foreclosure is? Just say, for example, the San Diego area where you're at.
Yeah, I don't know exactly number wise. We're not definitely not, you know, anywhere near what we had like leading into 2006 and 2007, but we are we're up almost double from where we were 3 years ago.
Okay. So it's pretty significant. Okay. Yeah. Now, when it comes to rents in San Diego, are we seeing rent increases or how's that going?
Yeah, rent is up. I saw an article the other day that we've now surpassed San Francisco as far as rent. And it's just a lot of that comes down to the shortage of housing. And with the limited housing, and then there's the people that need to buy, but they're not able to buy right now. They're just being forced into rentals. So we did see a little lull in rental prices that basically followed the price at home prices, but rental, we are seeing the increase in rates again.
Okay. With what's the real expectation that we should be looking at for the latter half of the year? Do we expect to see more rate increases, which means higher rates for homes? Are we're expecting the market to loosen up, get more inventory? What are we looking at here?
So rates are not expected to come down in the short term. This increase that we saw last week was not expected. And now where we're at in the back up to the 7% range, it looks like we're going to be here for a while. The inventory does not look like that's going to be something that's going to correct for a while. And a big part of the problem is 91% of mortgages currently are below 6% and roughly 82% are below 5%. So when you've got people at those low rates and, you know, typically they might be a move up buyer where they're, you know, moving up in size or into a different community, they're not selling and buying because prices are still high and rates are still high. It doesn't make sense. Their payments would, you know, double easily if they tried to make a move. So right now, the majority of the people that we are seeing are either relocating completely out of area or out of state, or it's divorce type situations, debt, or people that have passed away, and then the heirs are selling the properties that have been inherited. But there's not a lot of transitional moves within a community or within an area that we would normally have, and because of that, we're going to have one or the other. Either prices are going to have to come down, or rates are going to have to come down in order to start to loosen up the inventory.
Glenn, that's wonderful. Hey, look, everybody, you want to stick with us? We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve and Glenn Henderson.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that you're going to want to know about. But today we're talking about real estate. Now, one of the big things when anybody sells real estate, they want to sell it for the most amount of money. The key here is there's a couple steps you're going to need to take in order to do that. And there's a couple things you want to do, and you want to make sure you have the right realtor to do that. Now, Glenn Henderson, you know, we know he's a real estate expert. He's been around for 20 years in the market, knows what's going on in good markets, bad markets. You just heard him. He's talked about everything that's going on. Now he's going to walk you through on the five things you need to do to sell your house for the most amount of money. So Glenn, why don't we go ahead and start with number one?
Hey, Steve, appreciate it. So First is the pre-inspection. And so pre-inspection is doing the inspections that typically buyers are going to do once we get into escrow. So having a home inspection done by the independent third-party inspector, getting our termite inspection done up front, those are the two big ones. Properties that have are on septic systems or have wells, a lot of times we'll do those inspections up front. What we want to do is identify any problems or potential problems that the home has before we go on the market and before we get into escrow. Because once we get into escrow, buyer has contingencies. Contingencies mean that's a reason that they can cancel. The number one reason or contingency buyers cancel is because of the home inspection. So if we can identify the problems up front, and then we can address them and fix them on our time frame, our contractors, and we're in control of it. In almost every case, it's going to be less expensive. And then again, it eliminates that chance that there's going to be a problem once we get into escrow.
Now, I've talked to, I've actually relayed these steps or the five things to other people. And it's interesting. I've had a few times where somebody said, you know what? I had to fix a water heater, but instead of fixing it, I gave him a credit. I gave him a credit for $4,000 on something that cost me less than $1,000 to do myself because it was nuts. I wish I had done this before. And I get the feeling that happens again and again because people are just really negotiating down significantly on the price if there's just a little thing that's wrong. Is that right?
100%. And what happens is the way the contracts are, the buyers basically use the inspection as a second point of negotiation. So they come in and they find, you know, these different issues, and then they nitpick a property, and then they come back and ask for that big credit, like you mentioned. That doesn't make sense, where if we've done everything up front, we've addressed the problems that need to be addressed. And then as part of the counter stages, when we receive offers, we provide the inspections, we provide the disclosures, and then we make it an open book of here's exactly what you're buying. This is the condition, and the sale is going to be as is. And it eliminates and just removes that second point of negotiation from the contract.
That's wonderful. Hey, what's the second one?
Staging. So once we've gone through our inspections and work on staging, and staging doesn't just mean a vacant home bringing in furniture. Staging, and what I mean by that is everything from the curb appeal to decluttering the home. You know, it might be painting, could be replacing old carpet. If some homes that are occupied, what we'll do is we'll work with the owners and decluttering, removing a lot of furniture. We'll bring in some of our own furniture to just help it show better, or, you know, maybe something a little bit newer or more modern or something smaller that fits the space better. But the staging overall is working together, and we work together with our clients to make the home show in its best light. So, you know, it could be as simple as power washing the front and, you know, and planting some small coloring, flowering plants in front to just add a little bit of color. But it's from the moment somebody pulls up, we want them to feel like, wow, this home is beautiful, and set a good tone as they go through the property. And also that relates to, you know, the marketing as well. When we, our videos, our photos, everything else, it needs to really capture that person's attention. So if we spend that extra time and a little extra money, make sure that the home shows in its best light, that's going to get us more interest, more buyers, more offers, and ultimately a higher price.
Great. What's the next one?
Pricing. So pricing is where I see when you're following the market, so many people make mistakes and get poor guidance on it. So pricing the home, and it's going to, the strategy is going to vary in different markets, but the goal is to price the home where we feel market value is. And a lot of times I'll hear, or it's in a hot market like we have now, even a little bit below market value to create a bidding war. But so many times I get the question, well, shouldn't we start higher because people are going to want to negotiate down, or well, let's see if we can get that higher price. And in most cases, that backfires, because a home that's overpriced, and especially in today's day and age where people have access to all the data, they know if a home's what a home should be or what the homes in the community are selling for. So if one home is priced significantly higher, that home sits on the market, and then it's after the first, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, it starts to get the perception of, okay, there must be something wrong with that home. Why isn't it selling? And then as buyers start to, as buyers are interested in the property, they're always going to offer a lower price because they know that it hasn't been selling. And then you start chasing the market down, versus if you price the market, price it accurately up front, And then we do a good job and do everything we do on the marketing and driving interest and getting people in there. Then instead of chasing the market down and doing price reductions, we're creating a bidding war and driving the price up.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense because I've seen a lot of people who've held on to their house because of that. What about the next step?
The next is marketing. And this is the step that falls on us. And it's such an important part of the process where the way I reference it is you see a lot of agents. There's either the passive agents or the active agents. The majority, unfortunately, are passive. They put it on the MLS. They might put it on their website. They put a sign in front and then they just wait to see what happens and wait to see who comes in. Where we're actively marketing our property, our clients' properties. So, you know, from the point that we have everything ready, we start a pre-listing or pre-coming on the market's promotion of the home, driving interest to the home. And we want to, in that first week before we go on the market, we want to create a buzz around the property. We want to get full exposure. That includes, you know, internet marketing. We do mail campaigns around the community, throughout the realtor network or realtor database for the community. But basically, we want to get as much attention, as many eyes on the property before it's even available to show. So that way, when we actually go live with the property and we do our open house and our launch to the community, we want to make sure that we've reached as many people and we're able to bring as many people in. And that way, if we can create enough buzz around the home and people see how much interest there is, it's just human psychology. If somebody feels like somebody else wants it, it helps them to justify that either it's worth buying and then it's worth paying a higher price for it as well.
Wonderful. Always want somebody who wants to pay a higher price. And what's the last one?
Last one is the negotiating. And the negotiating, so we've already talked about the contract. There's really two points of negotiation, that initial negotiation when we're negotiating the price. And then once we get into escrow, so we're doing the pre-inspections to completely eliminate that second point. And then with the first point, one of the biggest things is having a strategy. So we talked about with the marketing and strategy of getting people in the home, but then the strategy of how long is the home going to be on the market? How are we going to create a bidding war? How long are we going to review offers? And sometimes I see properties where it goes on the market, first offer comes in, agent's excited, the sellers are excited, they don't know what to expect. So they rely on the agent's guidance. And then they accept the offer and you look at it and they probably could have got another 20, 30, 50,000 more for the home if they'd had a strategy and they'd been patient and then worked on negotiating that price up.
That's wonderful. So what are some of the ideas for negotiating the price up?
So the way we handle it is we always have our first week of launching the property and gaining the coming soon, getting interest on the home, going on the market, starting showings over a weekend. And we run our showings for at least 4 to 5 days and we start accepting offers, but we wait during that period until we know that we have exposed the property as much as we can and we've gotten as many people as we can and that we've received all the offers. And then at that point, we're looking at all of the offers and basically have strategies and ways that we put the offers against each other. And it's, you know, through the counteroffer stages to create a bidding war and to drive that price up as high as possible. So we're looking for the most qualified buyer. And then also, of course, you know, going through the counteroffers, negotiating and using all the offers that we have on the property to negotiate the price up.
So in other words, if somebody's going to pay cash and they want to win, you can come back and say, hey, look, can you help, but by $25,000 you're paying cash, we'll take it with something like that.
Yeah, and it's exactly so. We have five offers on the property. It's like, okay, you're third highest offer. We're now 50,000 higher where you're at. We need to, you're going to need to come up above that. And while we're going through that process of receiving offers, then somebody may go up and then the next person wants to submit an offer. Well, now we're at, 850, and then that next person comes in higher. So it's almost, like I said, it's a bidding war, and it's having transparency with the agents and the buyers and having a process and a system for doing it.
Great, great, great. Now, Glenn, you know what? We're coming close to the end here. What's the best way somebody can get a hold of you, whether they're in San Diego or somewhere else? I know you have a large network that you work with. How can people get a hold of you?
Yeah. Number is 619-500-3222. And then our website is mypremierhomes.com.
Mypremierhomes.com. Do you hear that, everybody? Glenn, I want to thank you for sharing that wisdom with us today and helping us understand what's going on in the real estate market. Again, if you'd like to get a hold of Glenn, you can call 619-500-3222. Again, that's 619-500-3222. Glenn, thanks for joining us today, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great week.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Hey, look, everybody, you want to stick with us? We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. My name is Steve Sexton, and what we're going to be talking about right now is the six scams that are the big leaders for the ARP. These scams continue to evolve in response to what's going on economically, what things are happening, and so on and so forth. The first one is a cryptocurrency. It's called a romance scam, and scammers are they're combining a crypto scam with old-fashioned romance scam. And basically what they're doing is they're going online and posing in an internet. They fall in love with somebody, and then they start talking about their investments, and they talk about how great they're doing, and they target people so they can download an app and invest in fake cryptocurrency. They claim that they're putting in their own money into the fund. And basically, when you start talking to people with the Federal Trade Commission, they're going to display an app that has data that shows that your money's growing, but all they're really doing is taking your money. So how do you stay safe? It's very simple. You carefully scrutinize any investment opportunity, even if you think you're a sophisticated investor. When it comes to these romance scams, I know of people personally, one that got scammed over $100,000, another one was almost $400,000. They were so embarrassed that they didn't report it until the IRS says you're going to have to pay taxes on it, and they didn't have the money. Carefully scrutinize the investment opportunity. Get a prospectus. Get a tax return, a business, an audited financial statement. If you can't get those at a minimum, are you invested? Next, payday loan scams. Criminals exploit the inflation squeeze workers by offering fake payday loans that they claim will help people get a handle on their bills. Loan applications are told they need to prepay a fee. The money goes into the scammer's pocket. The applicant gets nothing. So basically, this is a scam to get a fee out of you. Be aware of anyone who asks you to pay a sort of loan fee with a gift card or something other that's non-traceable in form of payment. The other thing is a one-time password. It's called a bot scam. Credit reporting company Experian warns that scammers utilize bots. They're automated programs to see people in the sharing their two-factor authentication codes with them via text or email from financial institutions, you know, such as Amazon and others. The bot will make a robocall or send a text that appears to come from the bank, ask you to authorize a charge and ask you to enter the authentication code. You've just been sent in the transaction. And actually, the bot is trying to get you to log into your bank account, and it wants the code that the bank sent you as a precaution so they can get in. Never share authentication codes, provide other information in response to unsolicited phone calls or texts, even if the caller ID shows you from a trusted institution name. I recommend actually call the institution. Student loan forgiveness scam. You know, the Biden administration plan to forgive student loans. It's obviously not happening. It got shut down in the Supreme Court, okay? But this hasn't stopped scammers from trying to take advantage of people who may not have heard of it. They built phony application sites, they even seen the application social security numbers, banking information. Sometimes they contact targets by pressuring them into applying and charging a fee for their help. The scam is still happening because there's so much debt that people are carrying. I mean, it's trillions of dollars, and they're looking for a way to get rid of it. Okay. Big thing here is just go to the Department of Education and Student Aid website to check and track the proposed forgiveness program for whatever status it's in. Okay. And don't fall into that. Check washing scam through other payment modes are replacing. Checks are still used often enough for scammers to exploit. One one trick is check washing, which scammers steal a check from a mailbox, treat them with a household chemical to erase the original name and dollar amount, leave bank spaces they can fill, and impossible to convert a $25 check for $1,000 or more. To stay safe, the U.S. Postal Inspection Service recommends depositing your ongoing mail in blue collection boxes before the day's last picket so it doesn't sit for a long time. At home, avoid leaving mail in your mailbox overnight. Have your mail held by the post office or pick up by a friend or neighbor if you're going away. Next, free gift QR code scams. The scammers put a fake code over real ones to exploit the convenience of a barcode people can scan into their phones to see a restaurant menu or making payments. Experian, Mr. Broomer says, scammers may call and say they're going to send you a QR code to your phone so you can receive a $100 gift card. In reality, it's just malware. How to stay safe? If you receive a QR code out of the blue, contact the person or contact that company that supposedly sent it to you and make sure it's real. Use a phone number you know is authentic. Next, tax scams. Gosh, there's tons of tax scams, but the newest one, they send you a letter with the IRS label on it and it says refund and reference to your refund. And it basically talks about you haven't received your refund. Call us or do this or do that. The reality of this is this, folks, okay? The IRS is going to send you your refund. All there is to it. They don't hold on to it. They typically don't say, hey, you need to call us for your refund, okay? If you get something from the IRS, I highly recommend you give them a phone call. Now, with that, I want to thank you for joining us today. Glenn Henderson was wonderful. Again, you want to give him a call. That's 619-500-3222. These scams will be listed on our website at savingwithsteve.us. I want to thank you all for joining us today. That's it with me. This is Steve Saxton with Saving with Steve. And with that, have a wonderful weekend. Look forward to seeing you next time right here on Saving with Steve. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Saxton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Saxton on UK Health Radio.